Well, as you've been hearing on the news, a wildfire has forced the closure of Highway 4. That is the key highway connecting Port Alberni, as well as the coastal communities of Tofino and Ucluelet, to the rest of Vancouver Island. That fire has now also prompted the Alberni-Clairquot Regional District to open its emergency operations center. And the road closure started yesterday afternoon. That was in response to the Cameron Bluffs fire. And as of yesterday afternoon, it had grown to about 80 hectares in size. Joining us to talk more about what this means for Port Alberni is the mayor of Port Alberni, Sherry Minions. Sherry, thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for doing this. And Mayor, how are things going today as of this morning? What is the situation there?
Yeah, so we're still waiting on our morning update from BC Wildfire on basically how the fire is progressing. We do know that they worked on it throughout the night, and we're hopeful for some kind of positive progress, although we do know that it was difficult conditions last night. And we've kind of anecdotally seen some pictures of that people have posted of what looks like, a decent amount of growth in the fire. So hopefully there's some good news there. But there's a lot of concern in the community for sure. This is our one kind of highway in and out of the community, not just to the city of Port Alberni, but of course the whole Alberni Valley and then the West Coast, Ucluelet, Tofino, and several small Indigenous communities as well, rely on this road to get in, to get out, and of course for our supplies as well.
Right. So what are you telling residents at this point as far as the highway closure and how long that might be in place?
Yeah, so we're trying to provide just all the information that we get from BC Wildfire and the Ministry of Transportation to our residents. But of course, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of information as we just don't know when this fire will be under control. So we do know that the Ministry of Transportation has stated that they are working on alternative route options. There are other ways in and out of the community, and they're, of course, just not ideal for, mass amounts of people to travel by any means. But we do know that the ministry is working on kind of a backup of safe way to move people in and out, kind of in a more guided way than people are taking back roads right now without probably a lot of markings and stuff like that. So whether that's just as a backup in case it goes, a little bit longer, or as an expectation because they feel it's going to be closed a bit longer, we don't know yet. But we're asking people really to just obviously stay out of the area and try to make sure they're planning to not need to leave the community until this fire is out of control, under control.
Right. And when you talk about the other routes, I know there are people with four-wheel drive and such that are pretty good at navigating forestry roads. That's certainly not for everybody. But
no.
Is it the forestry roads, or are there other roads kind of more established, but roads obviously not as much as the highway, but more established pathways that could be used?
It is the forestry roads. So, and some of them are in okay shape. There's a route from Port Alberni to Bamfield that has been a big topic of attention over the last few years that the province has invested quite a bit of money in already, and there's more work to be done. From that road, you are able to head to kind of the Cowichan area. So that's a long detour and not the best road by any means, but it certainly is drivable. And the challenge is it really is only a route for people who know it, and it's a route for people who are comfortable on that type of road. And we certainly don't want people, just any person kind of driving that, because those are active logging roads still. So when the ministry talks about setting up alternatives, we, expect that they're looking at we know the roads exist, but they're looking at, directing people and making sure that those roads can be passed as safely as possible in the short term.
You mentioned supplies as well. And is that something that's being looked at as far as other ways, depending on how long getting supplies in and out, depending on how long this happens?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something, we're well aware of this at risk. It's something our community has talked about for a long time, and we've been really fortunate to never have this happen until now. But it is something that we've been planning for. So, whether it was concern about, an earthquake or a fire like this or whatever else, we did know that this was a real risk to our community. And so, we have alternatives set up in terms of lines of communication to be able to work with the province and others to make sure that we are getting the supplies to our community that we need if it sustains. So Our community emergency preparedness is led by the regional district, so the Alberta Clayoquot Regional District. And over the last 3 years, they have majorly stepped up their focus on emergency preparedness. The good thing is we've done a lot of this work, we've done a lot of the planning, and we do feel very prepared at a community level and certainly a local government level to take this on. But obviously the most important thing to us right now is that we just make as much space as possible for BC Wildfire to do the work that they need to do and get that fire out as soon as possible.
And we understand, too, that it's pretty steep terrain, and that's yes. part of the issue of fighting this fire. How would you kind of describe where the fire is burning?
Yeah, it's a mountain on the side of a lake. So, Cameron Lake is our highway goes right around the edge of Cameron Lake. It's a beautiful drive. And right on the other side of the road is quite a steep mountain all the way up. So I went through yesterday. I had to go to Nanaimo in the morning, and there was no travel advisory or anything. I was quite surprised when I went through that they were letting people through, because the flames were right down at the highway at that point, albeit not a lot, a large amount of flames, but enough that I thought, wow, should we be driving through here? And ended up coming back. So I think the situation, grew quicker than expected. And then the ministry and BC Wildfire have been just trying to manage it. So it is challenging. I mean, we all know about the difficulties of how forest fires grow, this time of year, certainly, but in challenging kind of mountainous terrain as well. And so, yeah, it's a tough one for sure. And just hoping that they're able to get it under control as soon as possible.
Mentioned as well that the district has set up an emergency reception center for people who maybe are stranded. Do you anticipate, will there be a lot of people that need to access that?
Yeah, for sure. So last night, so this is another thing that the regional district does very well here, and we've activated our emergency reception center several times for a variety of different reasons in the community. They, very quickly jumped to setting that up, our staff and volunteers. Took care of that overnight. We did have about 130 people who either dropped into that center or ended up staying the night. We have one of our community groups providing breakfast this morning. I do know I was told that there was a high school team of some sort from Nanaimo that ended up stuck here as a result of the road closure. So that was about, we were told, about 50 people who ended up sleeping overnight at the high school. So, lots of community effort just to make sure that everyone who is stuck is not, nobody's ending up sleeping in cars or anything like that. We know that obviously a lot of people opt to go to hotels in situations like this, and we've been told that the hotels are quite full, if not completely full. So there are a lot of people who are stuck as a result of this, and we're just really trying to make sure that nobody, if you're stuck, that's fine, but trying to make sure that nobody ends up without somewhere to be. So about 130 people accessed that last night.
All right. And any, the cause of the fire, human caused, or is that being investigated as well? And how concerning is that?
Yeah, it's being reported as human caused. We don't have any further information on that at this time. But, I think we all know that most wildfires are human caused to some extent. And there's always talk in our community, because Port Alberni is a community that, loves the outdoors and loves our trails and loves our backcountry. And, we don't always have free access to it, which is a bit of a sore point for our community as a result of just some of the ownership of those lands. Times like this, it's hard to, to kind of think about, that being caused. We don't know exactly why, but usually when it's human caused, it is as a result of people not, taking care of the lands as they need to. So this is a major concern for our community. And, it was just a month or so ago, our community's whole water source was taken out by a logging truck. And now our road in and out is taken out by wildfire. So it's been a tough couple of months for us. But we are used to getting through things like this. We're a strong town. I'm sure we'll be fine. It's tough to hear that something like this was human caused, and now be dealing with kind of the impacts of it for such a massive amount of people on the West Coast.
All right, Mayor Sherry Minions, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem. Have a great day.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.